When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome, everyone, to Couch Potato Diary. Happy Thursday. My name is Peter Klein. Thank you very much for tuning in today. Apologies for missing the show yesterday. So we'll try to get caught up on some of the stuff that we missed. And so because of that, it's going to be a two-parter on the program today. This first part talking all about the NHL and the NBA. And then part two, we'll be continuing our look at Fury versus Usyk coming up this weekend with a look at the legacy, as complex as it is, of Tyson Fury. So that one, hoping to get it out today. It might be a tomorrow thing, as the clock kind of ticks away on today. But anyway, that's enough. There's so much to get to on this show today. Let's get into it and start talking some hockey. So, we have a series in the All-Canadian matchup with the Edmonton Oilers taking on the Vancouver Canucks. As, once again, what a night it was a couple of nights ago, and what a night we're expecting later on tonight when these two teams clash for a fifth time. You have, like, big goal after big goal, very late goal after very, very late goal. After Besser scores that goal, you're thinking, like, okay, that this is just... It is what it is, right? Like, Vancouver just has that thing in this series, specifically Besser just has that thing in this series, but nope, Bouchard comes up with a really, really big play. And I think, honestly, coming out of game four, the right team won that game. The Edmonton Oilers, I think, were the far superior team in game four. And it really, like, they get the result that they deserved. And the big guys showed up, but they also had a couple other guys step up. Like, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins came up with a goal at a very necessary time. But Draisaitl hammers one home. McDavid sets it up with a nice cut into the middle. Like, obviously those guys are going to be going to get going, but it was a bit more of a full team effort from the Edmonton Oilers in this one, and that leads them to this victory. They controlled this game throughout. They defended well, I will say, and they were able to pick up the win. On the Vancouver side, it was simply not good enough. You talk about 60-minute efforts being needed. That's in the regular season. In the playoffs, it needs to be 60 minutes of everything you got at that particular moment, and Vancouver gave about 15 of that. Just not enough. Just simply not good enough, and I do look at this as more Vancouver losing it than Edmonton winning it. I just think Vancouver made life very, very easy on the Edmonton Oilers in Game 4, and so that's going to be a big key coming up here in Game 5, is can the Canucks get that back? That energy they had to start Game 4 where they came out and just beat down the Oilers, can they find that one more time? I think they have it. All the talk is that they have it. They have the coach who can get it out of them. They have the talent that can do it. It just now is that talent needs to step up and make those plays. But it was a bad performance. And when you're facing a goalie who hasn't played in a month, 19 shots isn't enough. I don't care if you're just wasting a couple to just get them on goal. Like, just something. Test this player and make him beat you, and they just were not able to do that in this particular game. Like, you need to test him more and more. Sorry, we have another cat here, and she just jumped off the desk and kicked everything away, but we're gonna leave all that in. And anyway, they needed to test him a whole lot more, but they also had a couple things that really come back to bite them, and one was the suspension for Carson Soucy, because out he goes, in comes Noah Juulsen, and he makes the play that I think really shifted this game. When he steps up on Ekholm on that 4-on-2, and all of a sudden it's a 2-on-1, you can't be making that play. You absolutely 100% in that situation have to make the safer play. And I get it's the playoffs. Your team needs a spark. You're supposed to be the guy who can come out there and light that fuse. That was not the time. That was not the place. That was a horrendous play from Noah Juulsen. It ends up at 2-0. And at that point, that felt like it was a step too far for Vancouver. Even though they do get the late goal that ties it up, it still felt like they had to exert a lot to get back into that one. And it just they just didn't have it at the end. But you're not going to come down on this game and be like, well, if Noah Juulsen plays better, they're going to win. It's Elias Pettersson. All of this is on Elias Pettersson. He needs to be the guy who steps up. And look, I still think Vancouver wins this series, to be perfectly honest with you. I still think that this is going to be a Canucks team that comes away with a series victory. I just think they are a more complete team than Edmonton is. But they need to get Pettersson going. And with that, they have new lines today for Vancouver. At least to start, it'll be Suter with Miller and Besser. You'll have Hoglander, Lindholm, and Pettersson, and then you have the third line. Bluger goes back between Garland and Joshua. I like this shift a lot for Vancouver. I think they need to get Pettersson going. Lindholm has been really good with Dakota Joshua and with Connor Garland in this series, and I think Hoglander is a secret weapon that they need to unleash here soon. Hi, Cat. They need to step it. They need him to step up, and now to get the most out of Elias Pettersson and put him in the situations best to succeed. They really need to get that going, and I think they will. And then Bluger with Joshua and Garland. Like, I know Lindholm has been with them for a bit, and if you've only been paying attention to this team in the playoffs, that seems like a big shift. That's what they were doing for most of the regular season, and that line was very effective. And that line providing that third line depth is what got Vancouver into a point where they were threatening for the President's Trophy until the last couple of weeks of the season. So I do think that line back together is going to make this Canucks team a bit more complete. And hopefully, from their sake, anyway, they'll be able to get Elias Pettersson on a bit of a roll. Again, apologies for the cat. Yeah, hey, it's okay. apologies for some of the noise going on in the background here. The joys of having a at-home studio, anyway. Told you guys I like that drop. Moving on, we have the Boston Bruins and the Florida Panthers from the other night. And this one, it's quite simple. Florida just did not step up in this game. I think they were reading the headlines a little bit. They knew that Boston had struggled. They knew that they were the superior team, and they looked like they knew that because they played a just putrid game of hockey against the Bruins. And Boston, like, they found a way. That this game didn't really feel like it was 2-1. In fact, I think that is rather flattering to what was going on with the Florida Panthers in this game. And now you look at it, you have game 6 at home in Boston, and then game 7, anything can happen. And so it's opened the door just a little bit. I still don't think Boston gets through. I still think the Florida Panthers have the superior hockey club in this game, or in this series. But Boston has just that won't go away attitude that they are going to really show up. And so a lot of pressure is on Florida now to see if they can step up in this, but they need to play a whole lot better, like across the board, right? Like Barkov was a bit of a beast to be fair to him. But aside from that, you just did not see enough from Florida's best players. And once again, Boston getting contributions from basically all over the place to come away with a 2-1 victory in this one. And now shifting to the game that we saw last night, it is Dallas and Colorado. And you know what? Like, heart of the champion, all of that shows up with the Colorado Avalanche in this game. That was a championship-level performance from the Colorado Avalanche. Everyone elevated their game with Nichushkin out. You have Lehkonen comes in, picks up a goal. Mittelstadt comes in, picks up a goal. Makar was tremendous. MacKinnon, excellent. So you have the top players step up when they need it the most, and you have the other role players who come in and are able to fill that void left by Nichushkin. I still think Colorado can win this series. It's a long road. Absolutely. It is a difficult path to get there. But I still think that this is a high quality team for these guys. This is a high quality team that can put some pressure now on the Dallas Stars. And look, it was not a perfect performance. They turned the puck over a couple of times. It ended up in the back of their net. You basically have to play perfect against this Dallas Stars team to beat them. And Colorado played close to it. They gave up a couple chances and they ended up in the back of their net. Luckily for them, well, not luckily, they earned it. But the good news for them is that they were able to step up earlier on in that game and open the door a little bit further and get them going a little bit more. So this was a really, really strong showing from Colorado, but it could be better. And now you look at the Stars, they're so deep and they're so good. Pavelski scores his first of the playoffs and no one talked about it at all because everyone else from Johnston to Robertson, Hintz was out for this game, but he has stepped up as well. Heiskanen was tremendous again for Dallas. That they are just so deep and so talented. It almost feels unfair how good they are. But we'll see if they can put it away coming up in game 6 of their series. Okay, let's now shift the focus to the NBA. The New York Knicks are a win away from the conference finals after a victory over the Indiana Pacers, and the Knicks just totally overwhelmed Indiana. That was about as dominant as you'll get in the second round of this playoff, not in a Boston-Cleveland series. The offense got everything they wanted in this game. Hartenstein, offensive rebounding, tremendous. And then Brunson was that offensive weapon one more time. He couldn't miss in this game. He was getting to every spot that he wanted. He was hitting every shot that he tried. Everything he wanted to do, Jalen Brunson was able to do. And when he is going like that, it just opens up so much for the offense, because the only thing the Pacers can really do, or the only thing the Pacers are doing, is throwing that double at him, and then it's two passes and Hart's open for a corner three. I am surprised that they're still not going with more McConnell there, and it's just Nembhard, and it's not working. And the Pacers just keep beating their head up against that wall, and it just keeps not working. And it opens up everything for this Knicks offense. And again, the Pacers just looked cooked. It felt like they broke in this game, and they're going to have home court for their game on Friday. So maybe that gets it back. But Halliburton was terrible. Turner was all right. Siakam wasn't there. Like, there was just not a whole lot for this team on either end. Like I said, defensively, they couldn't do anything. Offensively, whatever. And then the really tricky thing for the Pacers is that depth started to show up for the Knicks. McBride looked really good. Hartenstein, like I said, was a beast on the offensive rebounds. And when those guys are going, like, this Knicks team is really, really difficult to stop. So we will see what they're able to do coming up and see if they can put it away. One game in the NBA tonight, it is Denver taking on Minnesota, and the champs are back. The Denver Nuggets, so many people, you have Bill Simmons saying it's going to be a sweep. So many people questioning, like, oh, you guys think this is a dynasty and this is happening? Blah, 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 blah. Jokic, this is your MVP. This is your king. And they went out and were like, yes. Yes, he is. And they kicked the shit out of him. It ended up being like not a blowout game, but it was the reverse of game 1, where everything for Minnesota looked hard and everything for Denver looked easy. And that Jokic, where he just tips it to himself, gets the rebound, turns around, and John Elway's it down the court for an open dunk. There's like 4 guys ever who could do that, right? Like, to have the size to get that offensive rebound, it's like MJ, because you just assume he could do everything. It's like MJ, LeBron, Bird, and Magic. And you know what? Probably Olajuwon. 5. There's 5 guys ever who could make that play. And he did it so effortlessly that it didn't even look like a cool play. It was just like, oh, wow, that was really cool. That was the extent of it. He was excellent. And Jokic was the one who really got going. In games in the past, he kind of deferred and was like, okay, well, we'll get Porter going, we'll get Gordon going, we'll get Murray going, and then in the fourth quarter, it'll be mine. And the whole game, he was like, this is mine. And there will be things that will open up off of that, but I'm going to get me first. And that's going to open everything up. And he dominated. Like, he went right at Rudy Gobert. And there's just no answer. When it is Gobert on Jokic, there's no answer. Because that, where's the help coming from off of that? Edwards, like, he could, but then Jokic is going to find that. It is so much easier if Gobert can just back off and play that center field spot and be able to help on Jokic when the time comes. Because one-on-one, he's just getting eaten alive out there. And look, Anthony Edwards didn't have the game that the Timberwolves needed him to have. He struggled in this game. And I think that kind of will at least slow down the MJ comparisons for a week or two. But he was not what the Timberwolves needed. But now we'll see. Minnesota, they had all the headlines. They had all the praise. They were already planning the parade route past Mall of America out there. Now, how do they respond? We will see that coming up here in a couple hours' time. As far as the games last night, Boston, it just shouldn't be that difficult against Cleveland. And then eventually they were able to break through, and it was fine. But it should have been... It was like Cleveland would come close. And then Boston would be like, okay, fine, we'll go up 6. Fine, we'll go up 10. And then Cleveland would get back into it, and they're just like, ugh, I don't want to try anymore. And so I really do worry about the killer instinct of this Boston team. And, like, their offense is just that there's nothing to it on most possessions. And the Knicks defense, if that is the match, if it's the Pacers, they're going to whoop them. But if it's the Knicks, and look, if there's no OG, like, the Knicks don't really have a chance. But... if it is the Knicks, their defense is going to cause major problems when Boston just goes ISO ball and it's your turn, my turn, your turn, my turn. The defense is going to eat that alive. So we will see how Boston is able to adjust going into the next one. And for OKC, it was so tough for them to get anything going against the Dallas team that's not exactly known for their offense. And Luka, again, was magical. And they have something there going on in Dallas. I do think we get one more pushback from OKC and set up a fun game 7, but this has been, it's been a great learning experience for Oklahoma City. I do think it shows that they need another guy. Even with Williams playing as well as he has, and even with Chet being as good as he is, it still feels like they're one guy away from being one of those teams that you really have to watch out for in the West. But either way, like it's been a blast these last couple of days in the postseason. Just one more note, obviously, for Canadian sports fans, Darren Titian, legendary, right? Like, that gets thrown around a lot, but he is an absolute Canadian broadcasting legend. He passes away, that announcement coming earlier this morning. I was lucky enough to work with him for a couple of years out at SportsCenter. And, like, everything you've heard about him today is 100% true. Like, when I first started there in January 2010, which is wild, it was 14 years ago now, but one of the first to greet me, and greeted me as if we were long-lost best friends, and couldn't have been happier to find out that I was also from small-town Saskatchewan. And when I would go back home, and everyone asks, like, okay, what's Corey Warren like? What's Jennifer Hedger like? The first one would be, what's Darren Titian like? And... that would be the one that if you said, you know what, he's kind of a dick, that would have broken the hearts of everyone because of the reputation that he has. And I promise you, anything you think of this guy, it's not close to how nice of a dude he was. He had that personality that just filled a room. And he could tell, like, whenever you're going around and everyone's, like, exchanging jokes on a situation or you're making fun of a guy, his would always be the last one because no one was topping him. But he could also have like serious conversations with people and helpful work conversations with people. Like he was the exact person you always needed to be around, no matter what your situation was. He was that guy. And, like from a broadcasting standpoint, like, fuck, man, he was incredible. There would be times where, like, one of the jobs that I would have would be to go up and run prompter, you know, like, just someone from along the route. It's like, all right, you're not doing anything. You had Cleveland against Minnesota. You're probably good, man. So you would go up and run prompter, and there'd be a time where his on-cam would come up, and it would just say ad lib on the thing, and it would be perfect. And, like, it would be the same as if you had every word scripted and you were going along. Like, it was just perfection. You could run up in a cold sweat and just slide him the highlight pack as it's starting, and he would nail it. And, like, broadcasters everywhere are going to be ripping off this guy's style for forever, whether they know it or not, are going to be ripping off this guy's style. And it would be funny. Story editor was the official job. And one of the things you had to do if you had time. You would read your highlight pack off to one of the senior people, right? And they would give it the okay, and then you would go hand your script in. And guys would start reading it like Dutchie. Like, it would be like, Nowitzki for three, bang. And, like, everyone would start reading it the way Darren Detition would read it. But, of course, like, 1% as well, because he was the absolute man. But no, just like, he was someone who, the second he walked into a room, if you had never watched Sports Desk, if you had never watched Sports Center, the second he walked into a room, you'd be like, he's somebody. I don't know what, but he's somebody. Like, regardless of how much you knew about him. And then if you watched a second of him, he was your favorite broadcaster forever. He was always in everyone's homes. He becomes a part of your life, especially at that time where you can't just go on social media or YouTube or whatever and get whatever highlight you want. He was the one who brought all of those to you. And it is a gigantic loss for the sports community. And just in general, man, like, the world needs more people like Darren Detition, not less. And an absolute beauty of a human being is gone far too soon, but he, it doesn't make it easier, but he lived the absolute, he got the most out of life that you could possibly imagine. Like, for, to fit it into to less than 60 years, he lived a full lifetime's worth of it. And we should all, in so many ways, try to be quite a bit more like that guy was. And it's been kind of hitting throughout the day. Like, I'm not going to say we're best friends. That is absolutely a relationship that I wish I would have followed up on after I left. And that's another story for another day. But, like, just an amazing dude, an amazing broadcaster, and just, yeah, I can't do it enough justice to talk about him. But this one really, really stings. And you're seeing it hit people who never met him or met him once. And that was another thing that was amazing about him, is that, like, you meet him once and you feel like he's your best friend. And that's, for so many people, that was just it through the television. He had that. It's incredible. It's been hitting me throughout the day. It's been hitting me in waves. Anytime you see that tribute, like, it just, it sucks, man. It really, really sucks. But absolutely, like, rest in peace to a legend. And just thank you for providing, on a number of different levels, so many examples of what people should be like and people should be doing in this world. So not the most uplifting note to end the show on today, but thank you guys so much for tuning in. Follow me on social media. It is a little bit late now, so we're not going to get to part two of the show today. So although that would have been fitting, because Dutchie, so important in bringing boxing stories to people across this country. But we'll be doing a double dip on boxing stuff tomorrow as we get ready for Fury versus Usyk on Friday. So make sure you subscribe. Thank you guys so much. And talk to you guys later. I'm out.
Mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.